best does not even rise from his stool, let alone throw a punch with one of those massive fists. He just watches impassively as Raymond is ejected from the bar by the barman and one of the burly security guards, who don't even retaliate when he tries to headbutt them. Raymond's silk tie isn't even disarranged. His Egyptian cotton shirt is still tucked in, and barely a hair is out of place as he stands swaying in the cobbled alley. He has a double shadow, thrown by the full moon resting on the rooftops to the east and the lantern on the wall of the bar. As if he is not alone at all, but there are two people standing very close. He walked a long way tonight to end up south of the river, where the tanners and skinners ply their trade, where the air stinks and the waterways are so polluted even the rats won't go near them. Not the place for a respectable businessman whose devoted wife waits for him in their grand Fulham mansion. Not the place for that man, no. But what of another, different man? He tilts his head up to the moon, a smuggler's moon, a moon inviting mischief from those who are young and stupid enough to be fearless, those who imagine themselves impervious to harm, to change, to loss. Strength, sacrifice, obedience, loyalty. Something catches his eye. A chimney with a terracotta dragon curling around it, the coal smoke seeming to billow from its nostrils. He knows that chimney. He has run across that roof in the past, laughing like an idiot as he was almost toppled from the apex by the clanking bag over his shoulder. He looks around him. Yes, this place is familiar. The rooftops outlined against the sky, the stench of chemicals and ordure, the clink of distant hammers and the growl of sewing machines from those who must work through the night to put food on the table. And then a thought occurs to him that makes the knotted cords around his chest loosen. Yes. God, yes. That place will bring him the oblivion he so badly needs. There are four alleyways leading from the court. Two that lead north, back to civilization, and two that lead south, deeper into the labyrinth of the Lambeth slums. He takes a few tentative steps down one of these. But no, this is too broad, too well lit. Perhaps it is the second. He turns to go back and stops in his tracks. In the center of the court stands a solitary child, in a white sailor suit and straw boater. He looks as if he has wandered here from one of the smarter houses north of the river. His pale hair falls in angelic ringlets around his plump cheeks, but Raymond can't tell if he's crying because his eyes are hidden by the shadow of the boater. Raymond bends and addresses him gently. Are you lost, child? The boy's rosebud mouth curls into a smile. I could say the same for you, mister. Raymond straightens sharply. From the boy's voice, he is much older than he appears. His height perhaps only stunted by malnutrition. Where are you trying to get to? For a quid, I'll take you there. Raymond clears his throat, blinking. You wouldn't know the place. Go on home to your mother. Try me. He feels another rush of guilt. Has he come so low that he is prepared to ask such a thing of a child? But children in these parts are not like normal children. They grow up faster, their innocence long gone by the time they start school. If they start school. Most are drawn into the miserable little cottage industries of their parents, wearing out their eyes with midnight tailoring or their lungs chimney sweeping. Jane and her friends are always trying to raise money for the disadvantaged children of the city. Well, perhaps this is his opportunity to do his bit for one of them. The Yellow River, he says softly. Follow me. The boy skips off down the second alley, his oversized hobnailed boots tapping on the cobbles. They pass down labyrinthine passages, splashing through puddles dyed yellow and green with chemicals. The boy's legs work at an infernal speed, and Raymond is soon breathless from exerting himself in the polluted air. Then, on the other side of a particularly dilapidated, moon-washed court, he sees the dragon chimney again. He stops. Do you actually know where you're going? The boy turns, tipping his head back to allow the moonlight to penetrate beneath the brim of the boater. Raymond starts back. His huge eyes are completely white, the pupil a black star burning in the center. Just round this corner. His voice, so old for his years, echoes off the tumble-down walls as he raises a white hand to beckon, then turns and runs into the mouth of yet another passageway.